Welcome to our sermon series on relationships. The Bible gives us clear instruction as to what is good in a relationship and what is not. This sermon series will unpack biblical truth to help us grow healthy and strong relationships. Have your Bible ready, and let's begin.
So in the 1950s, Salomon Ash conducted an experiment. And what he did was he brought together 50 students from the local college to participate in what they were told was a vision test. So one participant was put in a room with about seven strangers, and they were the actual test person, and the strangers were actually actors that had been planted by the researchers, and they had scripted answers to deliver to the questions. So what happened was everybody was shown a card with a target line on it. And then they were shown another card with three lines labeled A, B, and C. And the very simple task they were given was to say which line on the card, A, B, and C, was most like the target line. And the answers were always very obvious, very easy to guess. So the real participants would sit at the end of the row of all the people, and they would answer the question last. Now, as the experiment started, everybody agreed on the correct line. They would all say the correct line was the target line. But after a few tries, the participants were shown lines that were just as obvious as the other ones, but now the staged actors would intentionally choose incorrect answers, but they would all agree on the same incorrect answer. So like if you look at it, everybody can tell which one is obviously it, but they would all say the wrong answer, but they would agree on the same one. So by the time it got to the real participant at the end of the line, they said you could actually visually see the confusion coming up on their face because they would start to doubt themselves and doubt their own answers, which they thought were obviously true. So they ran this experiment 18 different times, and 12 of them, the staged actors, would all give the same wrong answer. And what Ash did was he ran this experiment because he was interested to see these real participants if they would conform to the majority view, even though the answer was always very obvious and they knew that it was wrong. So what they discovered as they did the experiment was that as the number of people in the room giving the wrong answer increased, so did the conformity of the participant. So if it was just one participant and one actor, then their wrong answer didn't really have an effect on the other person. They'd go on with what they knew was the right answer. But as that number of staged actors increased, 3, 4, all the way up to 8 people, the participant was much more likely to second guess what they knew was the right answer. Now here's what's interesting. After they were done, they found that nearly 75% of the participants agreed with the group answer, even though it was very obviously wrong. So what they did afterwards was they questioned the participants in the experiment and found out that people conform for two reasons. The first one was they wanted to fit in with the group, right? Everybody else was saying it. Nobody wants to be the oddball out, so they said what everybody else was saying. But then the other people said they believed that the group was somehow better informed than they were. Like there was somehow something they knew that they didn't know, even though what they were seeing told them the answer was wrong. Now, what's interesting about this social experiment is it teaches us something that most of us know. We tend to adapt ourselves to the people who are around us, right? If you grew up in a family, you sometimes have the same mannerisms or you tell the same jokes, or there's 5 kids in my family and we have a lot of the same mannerisms and the same words that we use. One of my sisters and I, our voices are exactly alike, except when mine's hoarse like this. You actually can't tell us apart. Our voices are so similar. But what happens is we pick up each other's habits. We start talking like each other and sharing each other's mannerisms. What it shows us is that who we do life with has a very powerful effect on us. Who we surround ourselves with has a huge impact on how we do life. Now, here's one of the basic things that we know. We were created to be in relationships. From the very beginning, when God was creating humanity, he saw that it wasn't good for man to be alone. So he created woman. Adam was incomplete without Eve, and God gave them each other so that they could do life together as partners in the incredible work of life and be a help to each other through the struggles of life and friends and companions and the joys and sorrows of life. Life was never meant to be done alone. Instead, what we find is we thrive and grow in relationship to each other. It's interesting because studies have actually been done to show the benefit of social connections. What they found is these relationships we build, these social connections that we have, actually have been found to improve our physical health, mental and emotional well-being, and can boost our immunity and lower levels of anxiety and depression. It also helps build in us a resilience to do life. We know, we say it again and again, life is messy and it's complicated. And a lot of the relationships that we build help us learn the resilience we need to navigate the bumpy twists and turns of life. But what they've also found is there's damage from a lack of connection. If a baby is fed but deprived of any attachment or bond, they will not grow as they should. They've actually found that babies with no attachments or bonds have lower body weights, experience more illness, and can even fail to thrive. In one study, they actually did scans of these babies' brains, and it literally shows black holes, spaces where the neurons didn't form and the systems didn't grow. Their brains weren't complete because they didn't have the connections and the bonds they needed to grow. Relationships are powerful and have a huge effect on our lives. The truth is, the right ones will help us grow and thrive, and the wrong ones, or the lack of connection, actually can end up hurting us. For better or worse, people have the power to have an effect on our life. Because we were made to do life with each other, it matters how we think about these relationships. The Proverbs said something very, very smart. If you ever read the book of Proverbs, there are these great smart sayings and they're very interesting ideas that are easy to wrap. Some are more complicated than others, but this is a good one to help us wrap our minds around it. In Proverbs 27:17, it says this, "Iron sharpens iron and one man sharpens another." Now, this is a very, very good image for us to put into our mind of how relationships help grow us. Interactions with other people should help make us better and sharpen us the way that iron sharpens iron. The right relationships sharpen us and help us grow more and more into our full potential. If we're really going to grow into these men and women that we believe we have the potential to be and mature in our faith, we have to learn how to grow in relationship to other people. Now, this visual, I know we don't live in a very weapon handy world, but you can, if you ever had, anybody have little hand knives when they were little and they had a little shaving block that you would sharpen it on and the oil. So this idea of thinking about steel sharpening steel and iron sharpening iron is they have to strike against it over and over and over. And as you do so, the metal sharpens. It's visually us bumping into each other, right? As we do life repeatedly helps sharpen us and grow each other. This idea here literally means to change the countenance of each other. As we bump into each other, as we do life with one another, we sharpen each other by changing the countenance of each other. These right, real connections help us grow in our character, and they help us sharpen the dull edges that develop in our life and our faith and in our hearts. What happens is, they help us look at life different and work on our thinking and sharpening our minds. As we learn to relate to each other in right and healthy ways, it helps us to grow and stretch and learn and develop and allows us to change in really healthy and productive ways. Without that challenge, without the bumping into each other and steel striking steel and iron striking iron, it's very easy to grow dull. And as we know, if you've ever tried to use a dull knife, it doesn't work very good. It doesn't get the job done that you're trying to do and actually requires a lot more work. A sharp knife makes a huge difference, but to make the knife sharp takes work. It doesn't just sharpen on its own. It takes repeated striking to work off the dull edges, but the work has the payoff in the effectiveness of how sharp the knife is. And friends, the same is true in our life. It's easy to go through life dull. It's easy to let the edges of who we are just dull with complacency, and instead we learn how to strike the right way so that we can sharpen ourselves. If we go through life with dull edges, we never grow. We kind of just accept what we know is what we know, and we become set in our ways and stubborn and prideful, and we get to a place where we don't let others correct us. We aren't teachable, and we assume that we know all we need to know. But when we do this, we miss out on so much of life. We miss out on so much of who we could be and what we could learn. And what happens is these relationships are so necessary for us to sharpen our lives and learn about God and ourselves by how we interact with each other. Because in relationships, we learn how to open up. We learn how to become accountable. We learn how to be transparent. We learn humility. We learn how to see things through other people's perspectives. Have you ever just stopped for a second and tried seeing something from somebody else's perspective? Not just yours, because we know how we think, right? But when you put yourself in somebody else's shoes, the world can look incredibly different. Sometimes I need healthy voices in my life to say, hey, crazy town, you need to take it back a notch. I know. I don't strike you as an intense person, right? I'm so low-key. We keep doing, did anybody do the Enneagram tests, like your personality? I keep retaking it because I don't agree with the answer. Because it says I'm confrontational and I don't believe it. I'm 8, the challenger, and I'm sure that surprises any of you who've taken it. So yes, I need healthy voices in my life to say, you need to cool down a notch or two. Sometimes I need the perspective of other people to see where I'm not getting it right. I'm so used to seeing things the way I see them that one person can be like, hey, turn your head this way. And I'm like, oh, wow, I didn't even know that existed. Let's try that route. It's genius. Sometimes I need to be reminded of the incredibly brilliant people who've survived even more difficult circumstances than me, because it reminds me that if they could survive that and they could get through and keep fighting, man, why couldn't I, right? Sometimes we need just people, the views of them living with a mighty faith that helps us learn how to strive harder right where we are today. Relationships have incredible power to help us grow in life. And they're one of God's greatest gifts. He gave us each other to help encourage and strengthen each other. And these healthy relationships allow us to deal with stress and the craziness of life that comes at us every single day. But here's the truth, and you know this, nobody has to teach it to you. Not every relationship is created equal. Somewhere around middle school, we learned that some people are not nice, and some people can be jerks, and some people are just acquaintances and not going to forever be part of your life. Not every relationship works in the kind of way that helps sharpen us and grow us. And so this discipline of growing in relationship and community requires us creating healthy connections around us. Dr. Henry Cloud is a really super smart guy, and he wrote a ton of books, some really, really good ones, but one of them he wrote is called The Power of Other. And in it, he talks about this really startling effect that people have on us. So we did different research and case studies in his own experience. Dr. Cloud says we are either enhanced or diminished by the key people around us. And he drew the conclusion that there are about 4 possibilities of connectedness that are either going to restore us or end up hurting our hearts. So he said, imagine a paper with just 4 corners, left, bottom left. I know that's transverse for you, but just in your mind, picture with me, okay? So in the top left-hand corner, this is what he calls no connection. And this is where we feel alone and isolated, not really invested in anybody else emotionally or functionally, and nobody's really invested in us. And then you go to the top right corner, and this is where bad connections happen. This is where we're in relationships, but not really connected. You have a connection or a preoccupation or a pull towards a person who has the effect of making you feel bad or not good enough in some kind of way that you can't ever meet their expectations. This is where we fall in the realm of the overcritical parent or the spouse that nothing we do ever makes them happy. In the bottom right corner, this is what he calls good connections. We've got no connection, bad connection, good connection. And he said these connections are where you want to feel good, so you kind of have the fake good, the pseudo good connections, and they just kind of take the edge off of isolation. They relieve that pain of not feeling good enough, but what happens is we end up connecting to something that isn't good. This can lead to extramarital affairs, getting into addictive substances that maintain like the artificial high because it takes the edge off of not good enough. But what he says is none of these three connections are good places to be. So what we want to strive for is the final corner, which is what he calls real connection. And he says here in real connection is where the true power of other comes in. He said this is where you form a real connection with others and where you get to be your whole, real, authentic self. It's a relationship that you get to bring your heart to, your mind, your soul, your passion, and both parties in the relationship here are wholly present and known and understood and invested. What each person is thinking or feeling or believing or the fears they have can be shared safely in the space. And what happens is, the best part of these is you can get to this real connection corner from any of the corners. So no matter which corner we find ourselves in through the phases of life, each one of them can navigate to this real connection. But he says it starts with the admission that we need real connections in our life. And it starts with the admission of who we surround ourselves with, the people that are in this corner with us. Said this true connection is where we find the energy that fuels us and it gives us freedom, but it also requires responsibility. He said it ironically defangs failure and challenges us and pushes us here. This is the place where we get to build structure for our life, and it really unites us instead of divides us. And this is a trustworthy place. Said what happens is when we truly connect with others, they help draw out the full potential of who we are and who we can truly be. And they give us the ability to live authentic lives. There's nothing worse than living our life pretending everything is okay. There's nothing worse than trying to live our lives pretending to be somebody else rather than our real authentic selves. And these true connections are where we get to lean into what does it look like to live the best version of my life, the best version of myself. Listen to what he says. Dr. Cloud said, the undeniable reality is that how well you do in life and in business depends not only on what you do and how you do it, your skills and competencies, but also on who is doing it with you or to you, who's helping you, who's fighting you, who's strengthening you or resisting and diminishing you. To really thrive, we have to have these real connections to grow. There's so much capacity for relationship and growth from the people around us, and creating a healthy team, a healthy group, a healthy tribe, a healthy family, whatever we want to call our group, it is a necessary part of doing life. So the question we start with is, who are we doing life with? Who's on our team? Who's in our corner with us that we're building these real connections with? And I don't just mean the acquaintances that you have. I don't mean the people that you pass every day and smile and nod to at work, or the 500,000, however many followers you have on social media that will like your post or respond to your post. I mean these genuine, real connections that you get to learn how to be your best self with. So we start with, who am I doing life with? My real life, not my fake self, not my pretend self, not my everything's good, nothing's a problem self, but our real authentic self. So that's our starting point. But there's one other thing that I really don't want us to miss here. It's very important. For the iron to sharpen, it has to strike the iron. Now, if you've ever done anything that requires work, that's not comfortable. Like if you've ever tried to like grow or learn or work out or exercise or change a behavior or break a bad habit or learn a new habit, let's be honest, it's uncomfortable, right? They're kind of like the beginning of knowledge is like how much you don't know. Have you ever tried studying something before? You never feel stupider than when you try. I'm pretty sure stupider is a real word. You can look it up. You never feel more stupid than when you try to learn something you don't know, right? Like it all of a sudden feels uncomfortable. Now, this is the same in relationship. Iron striking against iron, it means you got to bump into each other. Part of doing relationships with each other means we're going to bump into each other along the way. And guess what that means? It means we don't always agree with each other. It means we don't always see eye to eye on every single thing. It means we don't always believe the same things, that sometimes we have different opinions. But guess what? That's okay. That's actually how it should be. I grew up in a very loud family. I know you're surprised when I tell you this, but again, there are 5 kids, and we all have very strong opinions. And I have 2 parents with shockingly strong opinions also. So you put us all in the same room, and then you had some spouses and some grown kids and some extended family. Guess what? You gotta shout to make yourself heard. I am like smack dab in the middle of 5 kids. I am as middle child gets. And any middle children out there, you feel me on this? Like, you have to work hard to be heard. And if you have an opinion that everybody else disagrees with, guess what? You're going to hear all 500 people's opinions that don't line up with you. That's just normal for us, but I know for a lot of people that's not normal, and it feels a little bit stressful, right? Like that, we have people come into our house and they are stressed out. We're like, no, this is good. This is Sunday fun day. This is how we do family. You don't do it the same way as us? Have some food, it's fine. Okay. But look, our world is a better place because of diversity. It absolutely matters that we hear each other and learn from each other, and we feel okay living in the tension that sometimes we look at things different. Sometimes we approach things different. Sometimes your life experience has you fighting from a different value than somebody else. Your values aren't wrong. You're just coming at it from 2 different places. When we listen to one another, it helps us challenge our own thinking and see the world in different ways. One of the best questions anybody could ever ask you is, why? Well, why do you believe that? What source can you cite? Where did you get that idea from? Because what happens is, as we grow up, we realize a lot of the things that we grew up thinking were true were silly, right? Like step on a crack, break your mother's back, clearly not a real thing, right? We let go of it. It was a silly folly. But as we grow up, some of these other things that are religiously silly have attached themselves as truth to us. And we've never asked ourselves, well, why do I believe that? Where did I hear that? Where did that come from? One of the best things we do for each other is asking each other hard questions so that we can learn and grow. Guess what? God can stand up to hard questions. He's not intimidated by them. Our faith in God is stronger than our ability to always have the right answer at the right time. And we are able to learn from each other and have the space and platform to disagree with each other. Civil discourse is at the heart of our democracy. I say this because we've got elections coming up, and there are a lot of people with strong opinions, and that's awesome. We live in a place where you get to have the space to believe that and to go all in and to work for that party and to believe what you believe about who you think should be president. That's awesome. But it does not have to be the thing that divides us. We are able to have healthy conversations even though we see things from a different perspective. If you are voting for somebody else, God bless you. I'm so glad that you believe that with all of your heart. We can have healthy conversations even though we disagree. Because though we disagree, it does not mean we hate, right? Just because we see things from a different perspective doesn't mean we're somehow enemies. Because we're standing on opposite ends of the political divide doesn't mean that somehow, because you believe that, you're the reason the world's going to hell in a hot basket, right? But guess what? We get to lead the way in this. We get to lead the way in how we have healthy conversations with our friends who don't agree with us. We get to lead the way in what civil discourse looks like, even though we see things from different ways. We don't have to go into political tirades on social media, and we don't have to post the article that somebody else posted about why this person's wrong or this person's terrible. Because guess what? You just take the party out of it, and they say all the same things. I mean, all the same things. But the truth is, we get to have healthy discourse with each other, and we sharpen each other by listening and acknowledging and having honest and hard conversations. It is a give and take relationship. And what happens is, as we do that, as we live in the tension, it's not always comfortable, but we learn how to not just tolerate each other's differences, but embrace them and grow from them and learn from each other. Here's the truth. The goal is not to create cookie cutter versions of each other. Like, Jesus didn't show up and say, hey, I want you to stamp this cookie cutter and go out and make 500 more cookie cutter versions of that. That's not what he said. In fact, one of the most incredible things that God does, if you look throughout history and you read the Bible, is God shows up in men and women's unique lives and personal experiences. And he takes those lives and he takes those experiences and he does incredible work for good. And friends, he does the same thing through us today. He takes our life and our experiences and does incredible work with who we are. We don't say yes to Christ and somehow lose what makes us us. Instead, when we say yes to Christ, Christ shows up and makes us the very best versions of ourselves that we could ever be. Which means we need to have our ideas and thoughts challenged every once in a while. It's good and healthy for us to be able to work through hard ideas together. And look, God uses people to change us. It's a great catalyst that he uses in our life. He changes us through people. So here's the second question I want us to think. Not just who are we doing life with and who's in our team and who's in our corner and who's in our tribe, but also, who is in our life that we're allowing to sharpen us? Who have we given permission to that we're just our real selves with, and they get to challenge us and ask us hard questions and be like, man, I hear you, but let me ask you this, right? Like, who do we let ask us why? You can tell a whole lot of who you've given permission to talk to you by who gets to ask you why and how you respond. Because I said so. That's why. It's good. I promise. Just go with it. Okay. But who in our life are we allowing to sharpen us and challenge us and ask hard questions? It matters that we have the kind of people that can push us in this way. But the other side is, who are we doing that for? And I mean this in a healthy way, not in a, I'm right, you're wrong, I'm going to shout you into agreement until you blister on the spot, but in a healthy way, who do we have a kind of relationship with where we can speak truth and they can hear from us what it looks like to challenge and sharpen each other? Now, some of you are really good at this. Like, talking to other people is like in your wheelhouse, right? Like, you have no problem walking up to a stranger. You can talk to anybody. You can introduce yourself, say hello. You can start a conversation with anybody, anywhere, at any time. You're good at it. Others of you, you hear the idea of talking to a stranger and you're already sweating. You're like, please don't ask me to do this. This is not in my wheelhouse. I see the red creeping up on you, up your chin. That's okay. This is where we get to help each other and do life together. If you're good at this, just talk to people. This church is an awesome gift that God gave us to do life with each other. And you know what? We get to turn around and look at the people who are next to us and realize God's doing stuff in their life too. And we don't just have to be a group of strangers that somehow come to the same place every week, but we can get to know each other by turning to the people and talking next to us and saying hi to each other and introducing ourselves and sharing our names. If you're not good at this, no problem. Just respond to the people who talk to you, right? Just tell them your name when they say hi. And that's great. It's how we grow in relationship, by learning from one another. Do you know what's interesting is? I don't know if you know this yet, but we like sitting in the same spots, don't we? This is your spot. It's no problem. It's where you feel comfortable. But guess what? What if you just started learning the people in the same spots with you, because that's their same spot, and you get to know each other in your row or your two rows or your corner or your little spot just by turning to each other and saying, God, I promise I'm not going to put you on the spot and ask you to do this. I trust that you're all grown adults and you can do this on your own time. But listen, we all need each other. We all have strengths and abilities and life experiences that we can share with one another and learn from each other. And when we really lean into these real connections, they help us grow. But listen, they also help other people grow as well. Many of us can think about very important times in our life where somebody was present for us and they showed up when we needed them to and they helped in a way that only they could help, and we're here today because of that help and that presence or that challenging or that love or that comfort or the prayer, whatever it was, it got us where we are today. And for some of us, it's time to start being that for somebody else, to start leaning into other people's life and being a voice of truth and encouragement for somebody else, to take what we've experienced and what we've learned and how God has grown us and share it with other people. We talk again and again, one of the best places to build real connections and community is in a life group. The goal of a life group is to join a group of people and grow together. And we talk about the things that we talk about on Sunday throughout the week, and we study books together, and we read the Bible together, and we encourage each other and help each other and challenge each other and do life together. They're an absolutely great place to build relationships and real connections. If you aren't part of a group yet, I want to encourage you to sign up for a group today. Now, because we are fancy and high tech around here, I've got some very impressive sign-up sheets on the back sound booth counter. You're going to be blown away by how professional they are. I mean, it is like high tech graphics up in here. You just go back there. There's a sheet you can sign up for life groups. Throw down your name, throw down your email. Our goal is to start some new groups this year and really start building these real connections with one another. Another place is to serve in a ministry together. We have some incredible ministries going on week after week after week where people just show up and volunteer together. And no matter what your skill set is, we have a place that you can serve. Whether you have a heart to do missions in our community, whether you have a heart to love kids or be an awesome smiling face, you're good at talking to people, we have a spot for you. You're not good at talking to people, no problem, we have a spot for you too. Just throw your name on there. We'll follow up with you and talk through some ideas of what a good place it might look to connect for you. There's one more thing that I want us to connect to. One of our goals this year is to offer some classes to help us grow in our thinking and our understanding of God together. And if you've been around me for more than 2 minutes, you've heard me quote Timothy Keller, who is a preacher in New York, and he wrote an incredible book called The Reason for God. So we're going to start next Sunday, right after church. All you have to do is come to church and then stay after, and we're going to talk through some of these really big ideas that he goes through in this book together. It's an awesome book, and he talks about belief and skepticism and some of the hardest questions that we're confronted with when we believe in God. It is a great place. These classes are going to be like 4 to 6 weeks. They're a really good starting point to get to know some people, to kind of learn some ideas together. Again, there's a real fancy sign-up sheet back there on the counter of the sound booth. You just go ahead, throw your name and email on that, and we'll get you connected to that as well. Okay, here's the truth. We are better together. When we do life, our lives are better in relationships to one another. Our families are better in relationships to each other. Our church is better together. And the truth is, every single one of the relationships that we have is a special gift from God. So I want to ask you one more time. So the first question we're asking is, who am I doing life with? The next thing we're thinking about is, who am I letting challenge me and who am I doing that with? But here's what I want you to think through. One more thing I want you to do this week. How can you add value to one of your relationships this week? I want you to think through all of the relationships you have. What if we start with our spouse? What if we just go out of our way to encourage our spouse somehow this week? I know. There's all kinds of things when it comes to spouses. I get it. But let me just put those to the side for a minute. And we just encouraged our spouse this week. We just every day looked for one way to shower them with praise or do something special for them to show them that we see them and we notice them. Or what if we did something extra with our kids this week? Like, for no other reason than to have fun. Like, I'm super OCD town, so like when it comes to like planning things, like I way overdo it. But what if we didn't do that? We just spontaneously did something fun with our kids together for no other reason. I know we're busy, I know life is hectic, but what if we just found one way to laugh and be silly together? My kids were playing with stuffed animals this morning before I left for church, and I was saying goodbye to them. And they're like, "Mom, how come you don't ever play Beanie Boos with us?" I'm like, "How come you never asked me to play Beanie Boos with you? Like, I will play Beanie Boos with you." Guess what? I'm going home after church and sitting on a bunk bed and playing Beanie Boos with my kids. You know why? They asked me to. You know why? In 5 years, they are not going to be asking me to do that silly thing with them. So what's something just silly that we can do and just have fun with our kids for no other reason than the purpose of fun? Yeah. How about your parents? I mean, if there was ever a relationship that God designed for iron to sharpen iron and us to bump into each other, it is the parent-child relationship, right? Those are some good ones. But even though they're not always easy, what if we just found a way to say thank you? What if we wrote them a letter and say, "Hey, I have this memory of something that we did together, and I really want you to know that you matter and I appreciate you." Maybe you have a brother or a sister that you can go out of your way to say thank you to. Maybe you have an aunt or an uncle or a grandparent or a special friend that's been a part of your life. What if you just looked at your relationships this week and said, "How can I add value to the people that I'm doing in my life?" Just appreciating the good and saying, "I'm a better person because of you and because of what you've done." Let me end on this. It's a great quote from James Garfield. He said, "There are men and women who make the world better just by being the kind of people they are. They have the gift of kindness or courage or loyalty or integrity. It really matters very little whether they are behind the wheel of a truck or running a business or bringing up a family. They teach the truth by living it." We have people just like that in our life. And what if we just took a minute to say thank you to them, that we appreciate them this week? And then on the other side, what if we aspired to be those kind of people to other people? The world is so possible of change and good and hope and joy. And it starts with us. When we change, when the awesome goodness of Jesus Christ is present in our life, there's just nothing God can't do to make awesome things happen in this world. Let me pray for us. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you would please help us. I pray that you would give us the ability to lean into each other and do life together in the kind of way that helps sharpen and grow us and challenge us. I pray, Father, that we would just be real thoughtful about who we are in our relationships this week. I pray as we think through who's in our team, our group, our tribe, our family, Father, we'd be real intentional about learning how to be our real selves and build real connection with each other. I pray, Father, that you would give us the right people to challenge each other and think through hard things with, that we can sharpen each other in the kind of way that grows our faith and our hope and our joy and our peace. I pray, Father, that you would help us to take the time to appreciate those in our life this week and just take a minute to say thank you that we get to do life together and know one another. I pray, Father, as we lean into these relationships, that you would open our hearts to each other and grow us and challenge us this year. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information on Christ Church, please check us out on the web at www.christchurchohio.org. If we can be of any help to you, please contact us at 440-236-8282. Until next time, blessings to you.